fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Let's hit the waiver wire.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Ian.
We begin week five here on Fantasy Football Today with our waiver wire show. What's up, everybody? Send us your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Going to be reading some of those throughout the show. Jacksonville, Kansas City, Seattle, and New Orleans are on bye this week, so you need some replacements, and we've got your answers. Dave, Jamie, Heath, any 4-0 teams? What do you got? What do you got over there?
A few, yeah.
All right.
There's a couple, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if you have as many teams as we do, you ought to have a couple.
Yeah.
What if you don't?
Well, you don't have
any. I mean, I'm just saying. I'm not saying I don't have any. I'm, you know, what if? What if you've got a lot of 3-1s, some 2-2s?
Adam,
but you avoided on.
Adam beat the bleep out of. I think I was 3-0 in that league.
Oh, the 2 QB league.
You destroyed me in that one.
You picked the bad week to play against Julio Jones and AJ Green in a PPR league.
Yeah, it's amazing that I have Odell Beckham and you have AJ Green. How did that work out?
Yeah, it's, I guess I picked a good week to start that argument. I bonanzaed that one. That's for sure.
You definitely bonanzaed something.
Oh gosh, the bonanza. That was just bad luck with the bonanza this week.
Yep.
And what? That's what the bonanza is, you knucklehead.
About 20 weeks now of bad luck.
Terrible. Terrible. So.
I'm sorry, 19 weeks. You took a week off and everything was fine.
Everything was great. And we had such a great week. That was week two or three. I think it was week three. Great week.
No bonanzas. You know what's a bonanza this week? I'm going to give you a bonanza this week. Miami, Florida State. That's a bonanza.
Yeah, that game might not have been played.
It's a bonanza? Well, a weather bonanza, maybe.
Who are your top three waiver wire priorities? And if give us a little bit of your fab advice. And that's free agent acquisition budget, not fabulous advice, guys. Sorry, that was pretty cheesy. All right, anyway, go ahead. Your fab advice and your top three waiver wire priorities. Heath, you can talk now.
Oh, I get to go first?
Yeah, sure.
I think... As always, it depends on the position, but Terrence West has to be at the top just because if you need a running back this week, like I've got some leagues where I've been waiting on Jamal Charles and then he comes back and now he's on a bye. West should be phenomenal this week against a very, very bad Redskins run defense.
Yep.
Jamie and I were talking. I talked about a guy yesterday in the show and Jamie brought him up again. Zach Ertz, coming back against the Lions should be pretty close to 100% owned. He's not, so I think you definitely have to go after him. And then number three.
While you think about that, I will back up some of what you just said. Baltimore facing the Redskins, and they allow the second most fantasy points to running backs, 5.1 yards per carry to running backs, and Zach Ertz is facing a team in Detroit that has allowed 6 touchdowns to tight ends in 4 games. And regardless of the matchup, Ertz is 65% owned, and he is the lead of Jamie's waiver wire column, so that's somebody you definitely want to look at. Heath, do you have your third guy yet?
No, I hadn't thought of anyone else at all yet.
All right,
you're just picking
fine.
Up two players, and that's it.
Yeah, I'm picking up two players.
Steve Smith is out there, guys. Dave, how about you? Give me some players that you want to add this week.
I think if you've got to look at the running backs, West is number one. Darkwa over Wendell Smallwood this week if you need somebody, but if it's rest of season, I'll take Smallwood over Darkwa. Kenneth Dixon's still in the mix. He's starting to get up there in ownership, though. So, he's behind those guys. What?
He's the same ownership as West.
Kenneth Dixon
but
is?
But Dixon's ownership, I'm saying.
I'm saying same ownership as
West. It used to be nothing, and now it's at 53%. And Ertz is a good call. How about this? There's a lot of quarterbacks on bye this week. Carson Wentz against the Detroit Lions that just allowed Brian Hoyer to have another 300-yard multi-touchdown game. Wentz has been playing lights out, and we talked about it as recently as Sunday. He's a great guy to just grab. You don't have to use him. Just put him on your bench.
Oh, use him this week. He's our start of the week this week.
It depends on who you've got. We were talking about
him versus
Andrew Luck.
You're down all those quarterbacks.
He's a top 12 quarterback this week. Let's just call it that.
I think he's top 10. Easy.
He's in there. I think I have 11.
I'm 6.
Woo! You're Wentz-o for Wentz.
Well, it's a bad week.
That was my Flacco. Wacko for Flacco.
Bad. Where do you have Hoyer?
Bad. 11.
11, okay.
I'm 10. 10, I'm sorry, 10.
Yeah.
Fab.
So, yeah, Cam Newton's got the concussion. Carson Palmer may not play. Definitely need quarterbacks this week with...
No Breeze, no Wilson.
Right.
No Bortles. By the way, Bortles in NFL Europe would be awesome. He can't play in America.
I guess not. Jamie, how about you? Who are you prioritizing this week? Why don't you take maybe some of the deeper leagues, guys that aren't less than 50% owned?
Less than 50% on? Well, Hoyer would be one. 7% ownership at quarterback. I think he's easily the second best quarterback to add this week, and you could say 1 and 1A with him. And,
off waivers, not overall.
And Wentz. If I'm in a PPR league and I need somebody, Bobby Rainey, 9 targets last night, 7 catches. He's going to be the Shane Vereen guy, at least moving forward. So that's someone I would look at in deeper leagues. And then at the wide receiver spot, if Dez Bryant's out, you know, Bryce Brettler led the team in targets, or tied for the team leading targets with Jason Witten, 9 targets, 5 catches, 41 yards and a touchdown. If I'm the Cowboys, I bench Terrence Williams when Bryant is back and make him the starter over Williams.
He caught a touchdown. He's got 2 good games in a row. What's wrong with Williams?
He's just not very good.
Yeah, he might not.
See, I just watched Bryce Butler, and he looks a lot like Terrence Williams. Like those guys.
I'll give you another one. Based on how bad the Dolphins are, and it's a revenge game.
Yes.
Rashard Matthews.
Yeah.
8% ownership. Outside receivers have obviously done well against Miami. I think you could see him coming off. I guess it was his best game. I mean, only 2 catches, but
he had a big catch.
I would imagine that with that receiving core just being completely awful, you could see him having a chance.
See, which has more value, the revenge game or the homecoming game? Because Andre Johnson for the Titans is
probably
back
his last his last game in Miami.
Yeah, but here's the thing. What about Tajay Sharp? I mean, Sharp is still the most targeted, right? And I know he hasn't been that good, but if we're going to pick anybody in this matchup, Sharp's probably going to get dropped in a lot of leagues. He's only like 65% owned as it is. I just wonder, Miami's so bad against number one wide receivers. Is that not Tajay Sharp?
I just don't know if that's the Titans.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't think they want to involve their receivers as much as.
Well, we can't pick up Andre Johnson and Rashard Matthews.
Well, it's also, you go back to week 2, Danny Amendola had 2 touchdowns against them. He's not the number one guy, so it's not necessarily number one.
But their number one guy is not an outside guy. You know, their number one guy is Edelman.
Yeah, but Sharp moves around too.
I mean, the number one guy in Tennessee is Delanie Walker.
Yeah, that's who you're starting.
So who is your favorite Titans wide receiver then this week?
Matthews.
I think it's Matthews.
Heath?
Yeah, it's probably still Sharp, but I don't really want to
start. I don't want to start any of these scrubs.
Right. This is a daily play if you want to take a chance on any of them.
Sure. Denver quarterbacks, by the way, they are facing Atlanta, which has allowed the most fantasy points to quarterbacks. They've allowed 30 or more fantasy points to every quarterback they've faced. Winston, Carr, Breeze, and then the combination of Cam Newton and Derek Anderson. So Simeon, we'll talk about all these guys, but I just want to put some players on the top of your mind. Simeon, if he plays, Paxton Lynch, if not, you know, we'll see how much the guys like them. Steve Smith, as I mentioned, every number one wide receiver that Washington has faced has had either 100 yards or a touchdown. You guys can tell me, is Steve Smith the number one wide receiver on Baltimore now?
He is.
Yep.
Okay, he's 56% owned. Cameron Brate is 25% owned. The Panthers have allowed a touchdown to a tight end in 3 straight games. And Tyler Eifert, we probably won't talk about him because he's more owned, but he's 79% owned, and you want to own him anyway. He's facing Dallas. They've allowed the 3rd most fantasy points to tight ends. If you're in a shallower league and you see Ertz and Eifert available on waivers, who are you picking up?
Ertz.
Ooh. As a rest of season guy?
Yeah.
I would go Eifert just for the touchdown potential.
Okay.
I'm probably going Ertz too.
Fellas, we should definitely say this here, and we hope it doesn't happen, but there is a possibility that we won't have shows Thursday or Friday or both. What do you think? More likely Friday? We're talking about Hurricane Matthew here, and we're hoping everybody stays safe. But
I think the latest update makes it look more likely for Thursday.
Yeah.
I looked at the forecast for Thursday and Friday. Friday looked like just kind of a normal day. Thursday it was forecast for 100% chance of rain and 50-mile-an-hour winds.
All right. Well, here's the deal. It's you know, obviously it's in like Haiti now, and depending on when you listen to this, we are in South Florida. They're in South Florida. I'm going to be in South Florida this week, so we're hoping nothing happens. We're just giving you the possibility that there might be some interruptions in our programming. Before we get into the game from yesterday and the rest of the waiver wires, tell me where you rank rest of season Tom Brady and Jamal Charles. Let's start with Brady, who was the number 2 quarterback in fantasy last year. Where is he for you guys rest of season?
I've got him 4th among quarterbacks rest of season.
Behind?
Cam, Rodgers, Breeze, Brady.
Okay. Jamie?
I'll take him 2nd behind Rodgers.
I will go 5th. Cam, Rodgers, Breeze, Russell Wilson, Brady.
Russell Wilson over Brady. Interesting. Okay. Now, do you guys think Brady might not have such a great game this week? Because The only reason I say that is I watched him in that third preseason game. Remember, he missed the second game because he cut his finger, right? He was rusty. He was definitely rusty. And he hasn't practiced with the team. Are you like gung-ho to start him this week, or do you think there might be a little rust to shake off?
There could be rust to shake off, and that might take a quarter or a half. Mm-hmm.
We all have him in our top four quarterbacks.
But like, okay. So I don't understand how you keep him benched. You know, you've been waiting 4 weeks for him to come back, and he's playing Cleveland.
Yeah,
The one way I can understand it is if you drafted Brady and drafted Rivers as your cover for Brady, and Rivers just got the Raiders defense this week.
Yeah.
Raiders defense played better last 2 weeks, though.
Yeah.
Since Jack Del Rio has taken over play calling.
I mean, they still gave up 28 points to the Ravens.
On the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of it was on the ground.
Rushing touchdown by the quarterback, rushing touchdown.
Yeah.
I can see where you're coming from with Rivers, but I feel like Brady, you just look at how quarterbacks have done against Cleveland.
Okay.
It's hard to get away from Tom Brady.
But let me ask you this. Would you feel more comfortable Brady having not played in however many weeks it's been since the end of last season, or Carson Wentz playing his first game after playing 39 snaps in the preseason coming
right,
from
exactly.
North Dakota State?
Right.
Brady, right? Everybody's going to say Brady there?
Of course.
I would hope so.
Yeah, okay. how about Jamaal Charles? Where do you guys rank Jamaal Charles the rest of the season? Heath, Dave, Jamie, go.
I don't have an exact number, but I'm going to say 10th.
I'll be a little less optimistic. I've got him 12th.
Teens.
Charles or DeMarco Murray?
Murray. Murray's top three.
Murray.
Jeremy Hill.
Charles is ahead of Hill.
Yeah.
Charles.
Jordan Howard.
I have Charles ahead of Howard, but
Charles
it's close.
Howard.
But it's not that laughable, right?
No.
I mean, no, I think Howard's top 20.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's the teens.
I think it's
John Fox
laughable.
Doesn't screw it up.
How droppable is Spencer Ware?
Not droppable at all.
No, I don't think. I mean, were you dropping D'Angelo Williams?
Well, we had this discussion yesterday. If you don't own Le'Veon, I could see you dropping D'Angelo Williams.
No, you just trade D'Angelo Williams.
But you know ideally. What? That's harder to do than you say.
Yes.
And I've got D'Angelo in a couple of leagues.
By yourself? Without Le'Veon?
Without Le'Veon.
By himself.
And people with Le'Veon are just, I don't care. I waited for Le'Veon to come back. He looks good. I'm going to roll the dice.
They won't give you anything.
Oh, they'll give me something. It's... Here's Dan Carpenter.
There's a chance that the guy they give you
would
for
you like
the Williams are going to cut anyway.
Yeah. So, I mean, but that's what you have to do. And that's why D'Angelo's value is very, very depressed right now. And honestly, if all I'm going to get is Golden Tate for him, I might as well just hang on to him. Let him take up a bench spot. That's not so bad.
Well, yeah, I guess that would be my point. Why would you cut him? You could either hold him or trade him.
Right. We just might need to because of all the buys. But all right, point taken. So email of the day is from Brian from a town in Queens, New York. Dave, Astoria, you cool with that?
Let's go with that.
Dear Stimpy, which is Adam, Sylvester, Jamie, Puss in Boots, Heath, and Garfield. Sorry, Dave. And I guess
I do love lasagna.
Yeah, Chris Towers can be the Cheshire Cat. Did I pronounce that right? Cheshire? I'm not good with pronunciations. I'm not benching Odell Beckham yet, but how many more games can he be a must-start? How many not great games do you need to have before it's a bad season? Or is Minnesota just that good?
Minnesota's pretty darn good. And by popular demand, they're going to be in the trade chart this week.
Ooh. Yes,
DSC will be in the trade chart.
They are very good. And at the same time, Odell Beckham, if you took him second overall, is probably going to be a semi-bust.
Well, so far. I think this is the make or break week, though, going up against the Packers. Even though the Packers are coming off of a bye... the secondary has not played well this season, but he's part of the it's not like he's not getting targets. He's getting targets. He's dropping passes. He's complaining. It just seems like there's a lot more going on than just, oh, he's not getting a lot of work, or, oh, Eli Manning's not quite as good. The excuses really fall on him. He's the reason why he's not playing so well.
Well, Xavier Rhodes was a big part of it yesterday.
I mean, yeah, Xavier Rhodes is good.
Let's consider what Minnesota's done to opposing wide receivers. Jordy Nelson had 5 for 73 and a touchdown, but Xavier Rhodes didn't play in that game. Kelvin Benjamin in week 3 didn't have a catch. And the Vikings are just a great defense. It's not just Xavier Rhodes. They are that good. I mean, they're the Broncos. They're on the Broncos level, I think, as a fantasy DST, not in terms of points scored, but in terms of how you approach your fantasy players when they're playing the Broncos. I mean, when they're playing the Broncos or the Vikings, is that fair to say? I mean, they're a matchup nightmare for your fantasy team.
Yes,
100%.
Yeah. So that's
and,
part
and
of it.
They're now, I think their bye is in 2 weeks. You can't drop them.
Yeah, it's right. They have, They have Houston and then a bye. Yeah, and DeAndre Hopkins, guys, like, where are you ranking DeAndre Hopkins this week?
I think he's 23 for me.
Yeah. It's tough.
He's higher than that for me.
I didn't have him that low, but I probably needed to lower him down a little bit because...
I mean, the numbers speak for itself. And even Terrence Newman, it's not just Rhodes. Newman's playing really well, too.
Right. Captain Munnerlin is not a bad nickelback.
I think it's going to be a matter of Osweiler being under attack. That's how it's gone down for a lot of these quarterbacks.
So, as we look at last night's game, do you have any... Oh, this will be fun. Dave, I want you to know that people, you know, bash me for my trade etiquette. I am doing something very nice right now to Dave. Because I could go right now to our league, in our PPR league, and I could click accept, because you never rescinded the trade offer. It's still on the table. I will let you decide if you still want to do it. My Sterling Shepard right now, for your Jerick McKinnon.
Which league is this?
This is Fantasy Football Today, our PPR league.
You better check that now. Because
all right, hold on. I'm
going right now.
Now, look, I think it's a nice thing to do. I think that you should revisit it after every week, because people forget about outstanding trade offers. So I'll let you decide.
Look at that.
I was pretty excited about Jerick McKinnon. I should have gone with my gut. I should have pulled the trigger, but I thought he might not have a good game because of the Giants. And I'm all in. So what do you think, Dave?
Let's see. The buttons in front of me are... Oh, there's only one. It says withdraw. I'm going to click that one.
God, I knew it. Damn it.
You know, you once put Crabtree out there.
I'll do it right now. Crabtree for Jerick McKinnon right now.
I really don't need a receiver in this league. And
you
kind of
do.
Need, I do? Let me look at my team. First of all, my logo is George the Animal Steel. That's awesome. I need running backs. Terrence West was in my starting lineup. McKinnon is my third best running back. Oh, look at that. I've got Allen Robinson on bye. I'm a little thin at wide receiver. Yeah, maybe I will do something like that.
All right, good. Now, what other takeaways from this game, guys? What do you got for me?
Eli's in trouble.
Is it Eli in trouble, or is it just he had a very difficult matchup?
Well, I mean, he's had some... poor performance is a good matchup so far this season, so he's got to step it up a little bit.
Jamie, I think he's a great buy low candidate because I actually...
Oh, I totally agree.
We'll just lay it out here.
He's in so much trouble that he's a great buy low candidate.
No, he stinks.
Well, he stunk. I don't think he's going to keep up the stinking.
And McAdoo is not a good coach.
How come?
First of all, you have your arguably your biggest play. You know that they're going to blitz the snot out of you, and you have a rookie back there who is not ready to be in pass protection. And Paul Perkins got bowled over and the pass got deflected on a wide open throw. Stupid.
They would have won the game anyway. I mean, they are so outclassed.
No, but that's just part of it.
Yeah. I mean, but with Manning, the last 2 weeks, this week I throw out, the 2 weeks before that he had bad performances, but he threw for over 350 yards. So it's just the touchdowns. I forgot who else. Oh, we were talking about that with Dak Prescott, right? The touchdowns weren't coming. And I feel the same way about Eli Manning, and the schedule gets better for him at Green Bay, Baltimore, and at the Rams in London, actually, and then a bye. I don't know. That's my take on it. Jamie agrees. Dave Heath, any thoughts on the Giants? Then we can transition to the Vikings.
I think this is a very important week for the Giants. They should be able to go into Lambeau and put up some numbers.
They're going to beat.
They're going to lose, but yeah.
Right.
It's Sunday night.
I didn't
Aaron Rodgers
is going to
throw
win.
Five touchdowns.
Right, but Eli's got to come through statistically.
Vikings, any thoughts here? Stephon Diggs, Heath, are you concerned? Two bad weeks in a row for Stephon Diggs.
I mean, the concern, I think, is that the volume's not going to be there because they're just going to be ahead and they're not going to have to throw the ball that much. And that's a very valid concern. I'm concerned about him performing at top 20 levels, which is what we all kind of moved him into. But I still think he's going to be a guy you're starting most weeks just because of buys and because of having a flex or whatever. I mean, he's a guy that's going to be in your starting lineup.
Would you guys rather have Stephon Diggs or Emmanuel Sanders?
Sanders.
Stephon Diggs or Sterling Shepard?
Diggs.
Okay.
Shepard.
Rest of season?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Kyle Rudolph or Zach Ertz, rest of season?
Ertz. But they're both good.
Ertz. Rudolph.
Listen to this for Rudolph, by the way. Wow, Jamie's contrarian today. Rudolph is the number two tight end in standard, number three in PPR. He has had seven or more targets in all four games. He has never in his career had seven or more targets in four straight games. He did, Kyle Rudolph, have a stretch in 2012 of three straight games with either eight or nine targets, and he caught a touchdown in all three of those games. So get the man involved. It's working.
Well, look what he's done. I believe the last two games are against teams that have, at least going into the game, done well against tight ends.
Was Carolina and
Maybe not Carolina.
And the Giants. Well, no, Carolina going into the game, they gave up the 75-yard touchdown to McDonald. That was it. Either way, he's very involved, and that's good to see. All right. Hey, listen, it's time to get some free meals, fellas. BlueApron.com. Yeah, BlueApron.com/FFT. Three free meals. BlueApron.com/FFT. Amazing deal. Take advantage of it. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. They do that with fresh, high-quality ingredients, and here's how it works. Every week, you pick your meals from their menu. There's a great variety. There's seafood, beef, chicken, pork, vegetarian options. There's something for everyone. And then they send you the ingredients right to your door with detailed cooking instructions. It's that easy. Even I can do it. I couldn't cook at all. I could barely make a grilled cheese, but I can cook now. I know what I'm doing thanks to Blue Apron. And it's all for less than 10 bucks per meal. It's so simple. So this month, you can try seared salmon and fall vegetable hash with apple brown butter dressing, roasted pork steam buns with black garlic mayonnaise and spicy cabbage slaw, and so much more. Really creative, awesome stuff on Blue Apron. And your first three meals are free when you go to blueapron.com/FFT, and shipping is free. So go to blueapron.com/FFT, as in fantasy football today, right now. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. You know, I'm sorry. I think we should probably dedicate a little more, bit more time to the Kyle Rudolph. Jamie's saying he'd take him over Zach Ertz. That surprised me a little bit. Jamie, you want to expand?
Well, I mean, you see the rapport right now between him and Sam Bradford, and really what this receiving core is. It's Stephon Diggs and Rudolph, and an occasional Charles Johnson or Adam Thielen play. I mean, Rudolph has just been crushing it through four games with the targets. That's the most important thing, but the production's been there as well. So I don't see that slowing down dramatically. And Ertz, I think they're going to still use Trey Burton. They're both good. I mean, it's, you know, yeah. I prefer Rudolph right now. I think this is Rudolph's breakout season, and North Turner's finally getting him involved like he should have last year.
Jamie, how do you feel about this? Rudolph standard Ertz PPR.
Yeah, that's fine. I think that's a good way to put it.
But isn't, but yeah, Rudolph is catching plenty of passes too.
Yeah, but
so
you,
I don't
you,
understand.
You, I mean, Ertz
not
should
that
be,
many.
Ertz should be a little bit better in that regard.
Yeah. He's got a touchdown in three straight games. I think Rudolph, not all four, right? Three straight games.
Rudolph has a touchdown in three straight games. His reception totals: week one, four; week two, three; week three, seven; week four, five.
Okay. Finally, Jimmy Graham or Kyle Rudolph?
Rudolph over Graham.
Rudolph.
Wow.
But it's nice to see Jimmy Graham getting the targets and like being a focal point of an offense again.
Yeah, yeah. And if Tyler Lockett's really hurt, then he's going to not come off the field ever.
Injuries, news, and notes. Cam Newton uncertain for this week's game due to a concussion. I do want to bring up this scenario for the Cam Newton owner. What about picking up Derek Anderson? Because the game's on Monday. You want to wait, but you may not know on Sunday. And like, you don't want to pick up, maybe you want to pick up Lynch, but you might not want to pick up a guy on waivers and start him over Cam Newton, and then Cam Newton plays against an amazing matchup on Monday and you regret it. And Anderson's not that bad, I think. So, like, what do you think about that scenario?
I think it's probably only on a 2-QB league you're doing that, because in a 1-quarterback league, either Brian Hoyer or Carson Wentz are available on the waiver wire.
Right, but Adam's saying you might have to make that decision on Sunday, and the Panthers could keep Cam's status. I mean, who knows? They could say if he's cleared in time for the game on Monday, he'll play.
I think we're going to have a pretty good idea on Saturday if Cam's going to
play. I would too, but if you didn't, then I think
this isn't really something where he's got to test it out before.
Anderson started two games in 2014. One of them was against Tampa Bay. It was week one when Cam
was good, right?
Rib injury. He had 22 fantasy points. He threw a touchdown to Calvin Benjamin. He threw for 230 yards and two touchdowns in that game. And then he started against Tampa Bay. So every start he makes is against Tampa Bay. Poor Cam. Every time he goes to the Tampa Bay game, that was the car accident for Cam when he had the back injury. And Anderson threw for 277 and one, finished with 18 fantasy points.
And Anderson, when he came in last week, the offense became alive. Cam was just, I don't know if it's
it was also they were playing
what happened last week.
He was just taking advantage of it.
Maybe, but Cam wasn't taking advantage of it when he was in there. Like, Cam did not look good. And it was like the second game in a row where he really just did not look that great.
He's been getting hit a lot.
Yeah. And so theoretically that could happen to Derek Anderson. I just don't know if that's going to happen against the Bucs.
All right, John Fox did not commit to Jay Cutler being his starting quarterback when Cutler is healthy. They're at the Colts this week. Trevor Siemian could play Sunday. Atlanta, again, as I mentioned, allows the most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. Gerald McCoy will likely miss this week's game, according to the Tampa Bay Times. That's the Monday nighter against Carolina. But can you trust a Carolina running back, guys?
you can, it just makes the matchup better for Derek Anderson. No, the only one I would trust would be Fozzie in PPR leagues.
Yep.
Kenneth Dixon will likely play this week. Heath, which running back on the Ravens do you have ranked higher against Washington?
Oh, definitely Terrence West. Okay. It's not particularly close.
Right. It has to be West because he played well last week. John Harbaugh said they're going to ride the hot hand.
Right.
Well, Terrence West's hands are on fire.
We talked about this yesterday. He's going to have a monster game this week, and then he's got three bad setups in a row, and then it'll be Kenneth Dixon's job.
Okay. Carson Palmer may play this week. They got the Thursday night game at San Francisco. Look, he's
not playing. They signed another quarterback last night.
So. Okay, right.
They brought Dysart off the practice.
That's a bad sign.
Navarro Bowman out for the year. That's really bad. We outlined how much worse their run defense played as soon as he got hurt.
Not only is he hurt, Adam, but DeForest Buckner, the rookie defensive lineman for San Fran, is not going to play this week.
Yeah, David Johnson, number one running back this week?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, pick him up if he's available.
Yeah, I would too, yeah. Dwayne Washington has a sprained foot and ankle. He has not been ruled out for this week. They have Philadelphia, good run defense there.
They also added a running back. They signed Mike James to their practice squad.
Not good.
Not good.
Do you expect the following players, Rashad Jennings at Green Bay?
Not yet.
Yes.
I don't.
I don't know.
Yeah. Dez Bryant against Cincinnati.
No.
No.
No, but don't rule it out, though.
Antonio Gates at Oakland.
No.
Nope.
He should retire.
Yep. Hunter Henry's really good.
Doug Martin at Carolina.
Nope.
No.
Arian Foster against Tennessee.
No.
No.
Tyler Eifert at Dallas.
Not yet. There is some optimism that he could come back this week, though.
Eric Ebron against Philadelphia.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kevin White at Indianapolis.
No.
Kevin White, your breakout game. You get hurt. It's not what's supposed to happen. We should talk about that matchup, by the
Eddie
way.
Eddie Royal is their best receiver.
Eddie Royal's got the most production.
Yeah.
Wow.
Eddie Royal.
With
cheese.
Last one, Ryan Matthews at Detroit.
Yes.
Yes.
All righty. Let's do some waiver wiring.
He'll also retire.
Matthews should retire?
Yes.
Yeah, Gates maybe. Matthews, I think, no. On by, we got Breeze, Wilson, Bortles, and Alex Smith. We got Carson Palmer, Cam Newton, Trevor Siemian potentially out. So this is how Jamie put it in his priority list. Carson Wentz, Brian Hoyer, Ryan Tannehill facing Tennessee, Paxton Lynch facing Atlanta, and then I just put Trevor Siemian in the notes. He's 59% owned. If Trevor Siemian plays, Jamie, where would he rank when you look at Wentz, Hoyer, and Tannehill?
Third.
Okay.
For the week, you mean?
For the week.
Yes.
And for the rest, well,
what,
I guess,
not for the rest
probably
of the season.
Probably second for the rest of the season.
Right.
I don't know how long he'll hold the job, though.
It might depend on how his shoulder holds up.
Yeah.
How long will his shoulder hold the job?
And look, they're going to hit a speed bump at some point when they start to play poorly.
Well, Carson Wentz is sixth for Jamie. Heath and Dave, talk about how much you like Wentz and who you would start him over this week.
I would start him over Matt Ryan. I would not start him over Brian Hoyer, though. So I think that's the exact opposite of what Jamie has. It's
so funny. You're all in on Hoyer. And who did Hoyer just beat up?
Yeah, he did just beat up the Lions. But I'd rather have Hoyer than Wentz this week.
It's early. I still have Ryan ahead of Wentz just because I feel like they're going to be passing a lot. And Ryan, Julio had 300 of his yards. He can still make do with some of the other guys on his team. And I can't help but think that he'll fall into some decent production against the Broncos, but I don't feel great about it. It's something, obviously, I'm going to look at for the rest of the week. Same thing with Eli. And it's just a matter of how much I really want to buy into Wentz in this matchup against Detroit.
Detroit's so bad.
They are bad, but they're bad against everything. It's not just
especially Avanza and Levi don't play. I mean, right. Look.
But they could end up running the ball a decent amount. Like, it could be 250-2 for Wentz, which is pretty darn good. I'm not going to lie.
I think we've pronounced DeAndre Levy's last name different ways.
Yeah. DeAndre Levy. Levi. I know I said it wrong when I said it.
Okay.
I think Wentz, I mean, look, they ran the ball well against Pittsburgh, and he still had a good fantasy day. So I don't see him having a bad day against Detroit when every quarterback that, I mean, they made Marcus Mariota look good.
Who do you have Wentz ahead of?
I have Wentz ahead of
Carr and Rivers.
Carr, Rivers, Cousins, Winston, Hoyer, Eli, Ryan, Stafford. Well ahead of Stafford. I don't like Stafford all this week.
Interesting. Now, Ryan Tannehill, what do you expect from him this week against Tennessee?
No pass rush. That's a good thing for Ryan Tannehill. So you look at this is a good game for Parker. He should get Parrish Cox, which has been a good situation for most receivers. And I think Landry will play well, and they can't run the ball. So I think you'll see Tannehill have to throw quite a bit. And he was good in his last home game, his only home game.
Dave, how much does the health of left tackle Brandon Albert factor in there with Tannehill?
It means a lot. And the Titans pass rush isn't great, but they've got Brian Arakpo. They can definitely put some pressure on Tannehill.
Okay.
The fact that he should throw a decent amount helps his case too, but I think Mariota might end up doing the same thing, and Mariota might run a little bit more. So for now, I'm feeling Mariota more than I am Tannehill.
I've got Mariota over Tannehill too. And he was bad last week. I thought he was really in a pretty decent spot, but this is a better spot. I just can't get excited about Ryan Tannehill. And I know he'll have a couple games this year where he scores 25 fantasy points.
Oh, when I'm not excited about him. He's like 16th for me.
He's already got two big games this year, though.
Yeah, I just the Tennessee on the road. This is Dolphins having 10 days to prepare and being at home. This is a winnable game.
He's not that bad.
And Pouncey's going to be back.
He's so average.
That's huge. Yeah. That's huge for the run game, too.
And Albert says he's going to play. So they're going to have their whole offensive
line. Oh, that is big. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Now, on the drop list, Blake Bortles, 95% owned. Jamie puts these guys out there. This is not, you should definitely drop these guys. This is if you have to drop someone. Bortles on a bye this week, but then at Chicago, home against Oakland at Tennessee. That's not bad. And Tyrod Taylor is on the drop list as well at the Rams this week. Only one game with more than 17 fantasy points. Anybody else? Heath, what are your thoughts on quarterbacks you might drop? These two guys, anyone else?
Yeah, it's so weird because you look at it, and I think Bortles is eighth or ninth in fantasy points amongst quarterbacks so far this year. But you can absolutely drop him because you can replace his production almost every week. I hate giving up on Tyrod, but without Sammy Watkins, I think you don't really have any reason not to.
He'll have some good breakout games.
Right.
And I shouldn't even use the term breakout. It's more like out of nowhere. And you're just not going to know when they're coming. And so when are you going to start Tyrod Taylor over some of these other quarterbacks? And as for Blake Bortles being in the top 12 among fantasy quarterbacks, let me see exactly where he is.
I think he's ninth.
He's definitely in the top 10. Every quarterback except for Matt Ryan has had at least one bum game this year. Well, right. Yeah. Every single one.
Wow.
At least one. Some of them have had two.
Bortles is better than Cam.
What? No, he's not. What? In fantasy points?
He's right there.
He's 7 points behind Cam Newton.
Eesh. Okay, guys, I'm going to read some emails as we go through the show. So here's the quarterback email from Jacob Roth, who says, go Pokes. Who are the Pokes?
Maybe he's just a fan of Facebook.
That's the Oklahoma State Cowboys, maybe?
Oh, maybe. I think you're right. Pokes? Is that Oklahoma? Yeah, you're right. You're right. Good call. Should I pick up another quarterback to replace Matt Ryan? I can pick up Dalton, Wentz, Flacco, Eli, Tannehill, Cousins, Mariota. Who would you pick up out of that group to start ahead of Matt Ryan?
I would rather start all of those guys except for Tannehill over Matt Ryan.
Yep.
All of them?
Except for Tannehill.
Mariota over Matt Ryan?
Oh, not Mariota.
I didn't see it.
Dalton over Mariota?
Yes.
Or no, over Ryan?
Wentz.
Wentz and Manning are the two that stand out to me.
Yep.
Okay.
And you could pick up...
It's a good idea to pick up Wentz in general, just because if he keeps this up, you're going to have maybe a trade bait.
Yep.
If Cam is out for who knows how long, or Carson, whatever.
I would pick him up and not commit to starting him.
Hey, I don't know who this email is from. I forgot to put the name in, but some guy...
No, it's right here. It's Stephanie.
Oh, it's Stephanie. Stephanie is worried about Matthew Stafford. Are you guys worried about Stafford going up against Philadelphia and the Rams in the next 2 weeks?
Philly, for sure. Their defense has been lights out.
Yeah. Jim Schwartz kind of knows him too, doesn't he?
Yep.
For me, for most of the teams, this was last week or maybe even week three. This is kind of the prove it week for me for the Philly defense. I'm not sure they're actually as good as they've been so far. I think we find out this week. I'm kind of wishy-washy on Stafford. I'm not in I think Jamie's in a definitely bench Stafford position.
Dave said it. The Schwartz factor, the fact that, the Eagles coming off their bye week. Think about who the coach of the Eagles is and who he played under. How is Andy Reid coming off a bye? Pretty good. So right. I think that preparation factor is going to be big for Peterson, big for the Eagles. This is a winnable game. And the Lions just, again, back-to-back road games. They really struggled in that game against Chicago in Chicago. So going home, I think, is a good cure for them. But they may have got figured out a little bit. One-dimensional. They can't run the ball. You're trusting Zach Zenner now as their third string tailback. Yeah. And if you can't get the 202 touchdown game from Marvin Jones, think where Matthew Stafford is now for 2 weeks in a row. So Jones is really the only guy carrying this passing game. Ebron's banged up. He's almost in and out every other play is what it feels like. They benched Golden Tate last week. So you're really trusting Anquan Boldin and Andre Roberts?
Well, Tate will be back.
Well, of course he'll be back, but Stafford
doesn't trust him. What has he done? I've been saying for weeks.
They benched him after Stafford
threw a pick.
That was one of interception.
They
should have
benched Ebron.
Tate ran the wrong way.
Yes.
And listen, it's not like Stafford was under tons of pressure from the Bears either. The Bears were playing in coverage. And it's going to be just from the Eagles front four. And that's really where I think Philadelphia is. You're talking me into moving south.
Okay.
I'm into it.
Hey, let's stick to the waiver wire. Let's go to the running backs. Terrence West is 53% owned. How much of your fab budget would you spend on Terrence West?
If I'm desperate for a running back, it's going to be a decent amount. It's got to be at least 40% of what I have left.
Okay.
Because I think I'd give more than 30 personally.
Really? You just don't think he can keep it up?
I only wrote 15% because at some point we're going to see Kenneth Dixon in there. And I just, we've already had the rotation so far. He's had one good game. Heath illustrated it. He's going to have another great game this week, and then it becomes murderer's row for him. So you got to be a little bit cautious about what is. Now, I will say this to Dave's point and to Heath's point. If you're 0-4 or 1-3 and your team stinks.
Exactly.
Like in your, I don't know, did you guys win this week?
Oh no.
Okay.
We did not win.
You gotta throw everything you have to get a win. So he's got such a good matchup.
Adam already did that.
Oh yeah, we're done. We have like $6. No, we have some money left, but we have the worst team ever.
Whatever you have. Like I'm in one league where I'm 1-3 and had a lot of bad luck and a lot of buys and injury situations this week. I'm throwing everything I have at Terrence West just because I need to turn things around in a
hurry. Exactly. Now if you don't need Terrence West, you do what Jamie said, which is you put in 15%, and then you're probably not going to get them.
Wendell Smallwood, Kenneth Dixon, James White. I'll do this in groups of four here. So Terrence West, Wendell Smallwood, Kenneth Dixon, and James White. Who's the best? West is the best this week, but of the next three, Smallwood, Dixon, and White, who's the best this week?
I think it's Smallwood because we expect Ryan Matthews to play, but there's no guarantee Ryan Matthews is going to play. So if Matthews is, we come Wednesday, he's not practicing, Thursday, he's not practicing. Wendell Smallwood's the starter.
Right? I think he's starting either way, to be honest.
What? I don't get this.
They were talking him up during the bye week. They're so excited with what they have from him. And he's showed them something. They clearly don't like Ryan Matthews.
I don't agree with that. Ryan Matthews was hurt last week.
I think he absolutely, his ankle tightened up. That's what they said.
I don't think it's necessarily they don't like Ryan Matthews' situation. I think it's just you have to be able to cover yourself if Ryan Matthews is out. And he showed in that game against Pittsburgh that he can be a playmaker. I don't think he would get the entire workload. I think they would still use Kenyon Barner. They're obviously going to use Darren Sproles. Don't forget about Sproles indoors. It's the turf.
So he plays great on
the, this isn't a Wendell Smallwood is a top 15 running back if Ryan Matthews is out, but he's probably a top 20 guy. And I think you look at it as why not take a chance on that? And oh, by the way, Ryan Matthews is hurt every other day. So, There's a great opportunity here to pick up a stash candidate that could potentially be the next lottery ticket.
Yeah, but what about James White? You know, now that Brady's back, offense is going to look a little bit different. How excited are you to pick up James White, who is 45% owned?
I look at it this way, and I just dropped James White to pick up Smallwood heading into last week, that there's a very small window for White to have potentially great value. Because if Lewis is back in week 7, what does White give you?
Nothing.
Right. So,
how confident are you that Lewis will be back in week 7?
You know, all we have right now to go by is there was a report last week that he walked through the locker room without a limp. So take that for what it's worth. He can't start practicing yet, so we don't know. And if you're the Patriots, knowing what you already have accomplished, that you're 3-1 without Brady, and even though the tough part of your schedule is still in front of you, they know they have their bye in week 9. They know that this guy has got an injury track record. They may shelve him until week 9 because they have 21 days once they make him practice eligible coming off the practice squad. Eligible to practice coming off the pup list, excuse me. They have 21 days to make him active. So that basically gives them week 7 to week 9 to their bye week. So okay. we may not see him until week 10, but you also may get him in week 7. So the thing about White is he has the tendency to just, you know, flash and not, it's almost like what you said about Tyrod Taylor. You never know when the good game is coming.
Right.
He's more of a PPR guy, obviously.
Sure.
So, all right, so that's the top four. Terrence West, Wendell Smallwood, Kenneth Dixon, James White. Heath, let's take a look at the rest. Bilal Powell, DeAndre Washington, Orleans Darkwa. Got to give him credit. He had a good game against the Vikings.
He did. He looked good.
Yeah, he did. 12 carries, 48 yards, and a touchdown. They're at Green Bay. Great run defense there. Jay Ajayi, Fozzie Whitaker, Paul Perkins, Zach Zenner, Bobby Rainey, and Deion Lewis. Who stands out to you, Heath? Who would you want to pick up?
Boy, it's no wonder I couldn't think of a third name. No, I think I'll be really interested to see what Carolina does at running back this week with their carries, because Cameron Artis Payne just doesn't look like he should be playing in the NFL. I wonder if Fozzie Whitaker gets just a few more carries. He's been so good in the passing game so far. Good matchup against Tampa Bay. Not even a bad running matchup if McCoy's out. So I think Whitaker's the guy, especially in PPR, I'd rather just take a what the heck shot at if I need somebody to start this week.
I agree with that, but I would still put Darkwa ahead of him. In fact, I don't mind Darkwa this week over just for week five over Smallwood and Whitaker.
They ran on Minnesota.
It's just a guy who's going to have a good amount of work. And yes, he ran on Minnesota. He averaged 4 yards per carry on Minnesota and he scored. So really, he's going to need a similar type of game layout.
By three touchdowns at halftime.
Halftime? Yeah. It's not going to take till halftime.
I still think Darkwa's workload is pretty good. And he caught the ball too.
I think, but there's.
And Perkins and pass protection. What do you mean, Darkwa?
Yeah.
He had three catches.
Are you sure?
No, I don't think he did, Dave.
What am I looking at then?
Paul Perkins?
Paul Perkins had two catches, and I think they got to get Perkins more work.
Now, there are some decent kind of lottery tickets on here. DeAndre Washington, Jay Ajayi maybe. But who's Paul Perkins? Who's a lottery ticket that you want to stay?
Jay Ajayi is not a lottery ticket.
No, the reason I put Ajayi and Darkwa together. Ajayi and Darkwa together are in case they get starting opportunities again this week. Ajayi should get more work. I mean, you heard Gase coming off the game Thursday night that he's got to pare down his four back committee, which is the stupidest thing ever. Mm-hmm. And Ajayi looked the best last week, and he wasn't horrible the week before. So he would make the most sense. Darkwa, it's still not a guarantee that Jennings is going to be out. And so you got to be cautious about that when you go to your waiver wire this week. Plus, Perkins had the biggest splash play. Rainey's going to be the guy playing on passing downs. So it's going to be a committee regardless. And if you're talking about lottery tickets, Washington for sure, because there was a report by Ian Rappaport going into Sunday that they wanted to give Washington more work, and unfortunately he fumbled. So that kind of, I think you got to be cautious about that. But Powell has started to play a lot more. He's got 12 catches to 4 for Forte in the last 2 weeks. So he's really playing on third downs.
And Pittsburgh struggled with pass-catching running backs.
So I think you can see a situation where Powell starts to get a little bit more opportunity. And oh, by the way, Forte is 30. And they just ran him into the ground through the toughest part of their schedule.
I love it.
So Powell, if you're talking about lottery tickets, I would say behind Smallwood and still behind Dixon, in terms of just lottery ticket potential, Bilal Powell's still right there because Chan Gailey's system will produce good running backs, as we saw from Forte through the first couple games.
Hey, guys, listen, I know that we're doing waiver wire, but it is time. I'm sorry about this. It's time for the most controversial, polarizing segment in fantasy football today. It's Team Name Tuesday. All right. Here's one from Christian. Turban Outfitters. No? Okay. Here's Christopher.
Huge trade.
All my flexes live in Texas. What do you think?
Not bad.
Okay. This is from Andy. Lambo, first blood. And finally, Jim from Pittsburgh. Goodbye, Crowell world.
That's fine.
That's good. These are good. Thank you, guys. That's your Team Name Tuesday. Let's go to the wide receivers. What was the big trade, by the way, Jamie?
One of our, in our 24-team office league, there was Odell Beckham, and we do Team QB in this, Odell Beckham and the Bears quarterbacks for the Falcons quarterbacks and DeAndre Hopkins.
Wow.
So basically you traded Brian Hoyer and Odell Beckham for Matt Ryan and DeAndre Hopkins.
I wonder which side wins.
The Ryan side has to win just based on
I forgot that league even existed. Oh, you have a 24-team league, and you lose your first two picks in the first 2 weeks of the season.
Done.
Like, I hope I don't
win. You paid your fees for that league, right?
Not yet. I'll pay them whenever it's time to pay the winner.
Good man.
Okay.
Peterson and Watkins?
Peterson and Watkins in the first 2 weeks.
Guys, let's go to the wide receiver. Steve Smith is the number one priority, but you know what? Quincy Enunwa, man, 61% owned. He 6 for 60 on 7 targets against Seattle. Now he's at Pittsburgh. That was obviously a brutal matchup, but I like Quincy Enunwa. I would totally pick him up. I'd be down for that.
I'll tell you why I put Smith over Enunwa, because there is a guarantee that Smith is still the number one receiver for the Ravens. There is no certainty that Enunwa is even the two, because if Decker does come back, he's still going to take those targets.
Yeah.
So I think you're 100% right to go pick up Enunwa, because even as the third guy, he's been productive. But Steve Smith, man, talk about defying father time. I wrote in the column, Father Time's undefeated, but Steve Smith's taking this to the final round and waiting for a judge's decision. that stiff arm on Amerson. Awesome. Amerson or Amerson?
Amerson.
Amerson was just ridiculous. And he showed burst, 11 targets each of the last 2 weeks, 8 catches each of the last 2 weeks. So, yes, that was a long touchdown. That's hard to expect week in, week out. Although, it is the, I think it's the 51st time in his career that he's had a 50-yard catch, which is his fourth all-time. And he moved past Randy Moss in terms of receptions. I mean, he's at 37. It's just amazing what he's doing right now.
I am really afraid he's going to get suspended for the season after like just destroying Josh Norman this weekend. Steve Smith and Josh Norman is going to be a bad.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's something though, because Norman is obviously a very good cornerback. They've been terrible against wide receivers, but they're going to start using. They have been using Norman more. On number ones hasn't really gone that well. Are you like who do you like better this week? Because I think you could definitely make the case for Anunua over Smith this week.
I like Smith.
I like Smith way better.
I like Anunua better than Smith this week. I like Smith better than Anunua for the rest of the season.
Chris Hogan, 39% owned. Not a bad guy to stash. Definitely going to be more productive now. Okay, so Hogan, Robert Woods. How do you like them? Who would you rather add rest of the season, Hogan or Woods?
Hogan.
Yeah,
and I wasn't the big Hogan guy in this preseason, so that's probably just my bias showing through. But like Woods, they have to throw the ball to somebody.
He's looked good the last two games. I don't have a problem with either guy, but the upside certainly favors Hogan just with the quarterback situation and the passing attack.
I
think what we saw from Woods, he'll have an occasional touchdown on top of that.
Right.
I think Hogan's touchdown potential is probably a little bit greater because they'll throw in the red zone still.
Right.
Mm-hmm. To me, Hogan is got a he could be the like a Nunua that we're talking about, and I know that's not saying he's got a ton of upside, but third receiver in an offense that could really be, you know, starter potential.
Who's got the most potential from this next group? Bryce Butler, Dontrell Inman. Remember, Travis Benjamin's got a fumble problem now, so that can't hurt Inman.
Yeah, I think Inman should be in the group above.
I think he
should be there with Woods and Hogan. We talked about it yesterday. He was already leading the team in snaps. He was already leading the team in receiving routes run.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyrell Williams didn't look like he knew where he was supposed to be.
He also got hurt in the game, though. That helped
Inman. That was pretty late. Like, Inman was outperforming him before he got hurt.
Yeah, but it's also, I'm always hesitant when you just see that one game spike
from
someone.
Right.
I want to see it more. So, Bryce Butler to me is really a one game thing, which is why I have him over for Inman, because if Dez is out again.
Right.
I think you saw Butler as a guy that Dak will lean on. But Inman would be behind Woods. So if you're looking at it like from a long-term spectrum, I would say Inman's behind Anunua, Hogan, Woods, and then Smith, obviously.
Isn't the knock on Inman that he's just way too inconsistent? Like, it's been that way for his entire career.
That's all they have is inconsistent.
Then like I don't know if I necessarily want any of these guys.
Yeah, just because they have it doesn't mean you have to have it on your
paper. Right. Let me read the rest of the names. Bryce Butler, Inman, Brian Quick, Kenny Stills, Rashard Matthews, Eddie Royal, Jeremy Curley, Terrence Williams.
Stills stands out to me. And I wonder if he's going to get more opportunities in the Dolphins offense based on what he's been doing and the fact that he can still do that deep ball work. And maybe a little bit more. And that's a team that wants to throw the ball a lot. I think this is an interesting week for him.
Here are some players who are on Jamie's drop list. Golden Tate. Remember, you don't have to drop them, but you can. Golden Tate, Allen Hurns, Tyler Lockett, Sammy Watkins, Tavon Austin, Tajay Sharp, and Josh Gordon. All are owned in between 61 and 90% of our leagues. So we go to the tight ends now. Hunter Henry is number one. Well, I asked
Heath. Ertz is one.
Ertz is number one. Okay, 65% owned. I asked Heath his thoughts on this yesterday, and you know he's concerned about Henry's role when Gates comes back. Dave and Jamie, how do you feel about Gates' role when he comes back? And Henry has Oakland on the road this week.
The one thing I'd be worried about is Gates stealing touchdowns. And I wonder if they limit Gates' workload to inside the 20.
Yeah, I just hope that Antonio Gates just decides. Like, he's had a great career.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just go out on top.
Yeah. They can't take Henry. They can't afford to take Hunter Henry off the field.
We've said this before, though. Like, for 3 years, we wanted him to play Ladarius Green over Antonio Gates.
Yeah. Right.
And Ladarius Green was a much better athlete
than Gates or than Henry?
Than Gates. I think Henry's done more in a couple of games to show me that he's going to be good than Green did.
And we just talked about how inconsistent those receivers are.
For 1 second, though, Green in the 3 games that he played in the 4 games that Gates was suspended last year was doing this.
Yeah.
So this is what this role is. The tight end role for Phillip Rivers has always been good. So I think it's just a matter of playing time. And with the receiving corps being what it is, where you have Inman playing a lot but inconsistent, Travis Benjamin inconsistent, Tyrell Williams inconsistent, maybe they adjust things and they do use their two tight ends. Now, they've always used both tight ends, but they've never really thrown to both tight ends consistently at the same time. Maybe this is the time that it starts to happen. And you also have to wonder, Mike McCoy is probably going to get fired at the end of this year. And they're struggling right now. They've had leads in games, but they haven't been able to hold them. There was a report out of San Diego that his job could be in jeopardy. If they do make a coaching change and they're, let's say, 1-4, 1-5, they can't find a win, then maybe it's a youth movement that starts to happen. So Henry does get a little bit of a boost. And there could be a team, maybe Gates, you know, comes back and he's on a trade block.
But I mean, look, I'm struggling in one league at tight end and I wish I had picked up Henry. I didn't, but now you pick up Henry, there's a chance it's a total bust pick. It's a total
it
bust
could be.
Ad, you know?
Right. And you know the track record of rookie tight ends. Typically they don't contribute big. But it's still nice to see what we're seeing from Henry. And what would make sense to me is to keep the kid on the field, play him every down, and use Gates in a two tight end formation near the goal line, which doesn't tip your hand whether you're running or passing, which helps. That'll help Melvin Gordon. It'll help Phillip Rivers. And then they can throw two out of that formation.
Yeah, I mean, look, Henry's going to lose one way or another when Gates is back. There's just no way around it.
How about the rest of the list then? Cameron Brate, Zach Miller, Jesse James, Garrett Celek, who had a big game with Vance McDonald inactive, Ryan Griffin, Lance Kendricks. What do you guys think? Who excites you on this list? Yeah.
Brate excites me.
Yeah, Brate's been good.
Because he's the last tight end that's left standing in Tampa Bay. And
Myers,
we know about Winston. Myers got banged up last week. So I don't know if he's going to be okay. But to me, I think Brate plays a lot and is versatile and is in his role and can catch touchdowns.
And as we come to find out, Carolina stinks against tight ends.
Right. Yep. Miller excites me. Great, especially for this week and even for next week against Jacksonville. I think over the next 2 weeks, Miller may be the best out of this group.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't really touch on Eddie Royal, but Morrill and Miller, if White is out and Alshon's banged up, I think this has a lot to do with Jeffrey, is that he's just not practicing and the rapport between Hoyer and Jeffrey is just not there.
I think it's how teams are playing the Bears. And they're trying to take away the outside receivers, and Hoyer is smart enough to check down. You know, Zach Miller was wide open on that touchdown last week as well. That doesn't hurt things.
Yep. And James, look, the Jets have just been awful against tight ends.
Yeah,
last.
Brutal.
We're seeing the Todd Bowles, Arizona defense coordinator, covering tight ends show up again with the Jets. They were really good last year. They stink now this year.
Well, apparently they don't really have the personnel unless I don't know if they could put Calvin Pryor on it, but they tried a linebacker, I think, 2 weeks ago against Kelsey. So they tried a defensive back against, Jimmy Graham. I think Graham saw different types of coverage, but it just didn't work. And, all right. So Jesse James, are there tight ends that you usually start that you are not starting this week? Kind of like, Matt Ryan's situation.
I'm done with Dwayne Allen.
Yes. Yes.
I like Jack Doyle better.
I don't disagree with that. Although I will say this about Dwayne Allen, and I have him on the drop list. I think when they go back to what they wanted to be, which is a three receiver, one tight end set, Dwayne Allen will be on the field more than Jack Doyle. Right now, Jack Doyle is playing more because Moncrief is out. They're going back to what they had to do.
Was that the case again this week?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. So I thought Allen just got more targets. Doyle only got one target.
Yeah, but Doyle,
right,
had,
but
a huge
Doyle had a huge catch
called back when Andrew Luck was tackled. I think you'll see Allen get back to being that red zone threat, and their offense will certainly be better because this is not what they were hoping to be. They were hoping to be a three receiver team for the first time in Andrew Luck's career.
Yeah, they stink. So, okay, you can drop Julius Thomas, you can drop Dwayne Allen, you can drop Antonio Gates, but, you know, I'm so frustrated with Antonio Gates. DSTs, guys, give me some DSTs to pick up this week.
The Eagles were dropped. Pick them up. 58% ownership, Detroit. I think you'll see Stafford get turnover prone this week.
Yeah, I see that Jamie put the Eagles, Rams, and Packers on his list. I had my DST article, it comes out later today. I had Packers and Rams on that. Also, the Bills against the Rams. Bills have been great 2 weeks in a row defensively. And then I think you have to consider the 49ers against Drew Stanton on a short week.
The Packers.
Yep.
Huh?
I got a gutsy one. The Bears against the Colts, who are not going into a bye after their London game.
Right.
I don't know what that's going to look like. Their offensive line isn't in good shape. And I think the Bears could actually come up with a couple of turnovers and make it a game against the Colts. And their secondary has actually played very, very well. Like they've got Bryce Callahan, Jacoby Glenn are two guys no one's heard of. And Callahan particularly has been playing very well. I think they are a big time sleeper this week. I think the Dolphins and Titans could potentially be sleepers this week, too.
Yep.
The Packers,
probably more so the Dolphins.
You're hoping for some turnovers there with the Giants-Packers game? Because Packers have not had a good DST for fantasy purposes.
No, but you said it. Night game in Green Bay, chasing points. That's usually when they're at their best.
They're my fourth favorite of the list that we talked about before. I'd rather pick up the 49ers and start them.
I don't think that teams should get more than one primetime home game a year. Just going to throw that out there.
Thanks.
Sunday night or Monday night.
You should probably send that suggestion to like the commissioner or the networks or somebody else.
I would fix football. I have so many great ideas.
Well, wait a minute. There's 17 weeks in the season, Adam, and there's multiple primetime games. So how do you balance that?
Where are we going to play these games?
I know. Let's expand the NFL to 40.
Wait, how do we do that mathematically?
Because there's 51 home games for primetime games.
Okay, so I guess they have to?
52.
No, can't be.
We're going to have the
Reno
Mavericks.
They shouldn't get more than two. They shouldn't get more than two.
And the Ottawa Otters play each other on a
But there's no way every team gets a primetime home game. And I'm not talking about Thursday, by the way. I'm just talking about Sunday and Monday.
Oh, so Thursday is not primetime.
Well, Thursday you can't avoid. I mean, every team has to play a Thursday night game.
Honolulu's going to have to make the cross.
It's Aaron Rodgers at home on primetime and Drew Brees at home on primetime are like guaranteed. For Brees, it's a guaranteed 300 yards. For Rodgers, it's at least 8 touchdowns. That's probably more
so
like.
So this
four.
Is already sour grapes over your Giants.
No, forget forget the Giants. He's amazing. I will start him in FanDuel. Every time he plays a Sunday or Monday night home game, Aaron Rodgers. Every time. That's when he just goes crazy. Okay.
I just read that the Dolphins have an NFL record 44-day homestand coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah, with a bye in there.
44 days.
Four games and a bye, all at home. That's awesome.
Except when they move this week's game because of the hurricane.
No, that's not going to happen. forget it. So, emails.
Tell us more about how you're going to save the NFL.
I'm working on it, Dave. I have a lot of great ideas. But
you
I
said I have a million ideas.
I can't think of any right now.
You don't have any right now.
I've got one.
Use real zebras instead of referees.
Stop throwing flags for people celebrating.
No, it would get a little out of hand.
Make sure the team...
I think you should give points for celebration.
Make sure when there's a fumble, you determine which team has the ball before you say which team has the ball.
Okay, well, I don't think... You ready for sour grapes for the homer?
No, I'm not.
No. I don't think a team... Tell me honestly what you think. I don't think a team should have to play two primetime road games in a row.
Especially if they're the Giants.
No, any team. I'm serious.
What if it's the Giants?
Then definitely not. They especially should not have to. I want to know statistically if there's an advantage to having a Monday night or Sunday night home game. I'd like to know those things. And then I think if there is an advantage, which I suspect there is, I think that schedules should be influenced by that advantage. If there is in fact an advantage.
Any team that has to go on the road in primetime should get a 3-point lead starting the game.
I was going to say that, but I thought it was...
Oh, my God. How is that even fair?
No, I'm just kidding. All right, now we read some emails here. This is from Odell Osteen from Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. He says, Dear Stefan, Brad, Kryz, K-R-Y-Z, and Kevin. I bet that's the trailer to Park Boys or something. That's what the Canadians seem to write in with. Which Washington do you want rest of season, DeAndre or Dwayne?
I guess not knowing what Dwayne's injury is, I'll take DeAndre.
Yeah, probably so for now.
Okay, those are Third Eye Blind band members. I apologize to all the Canadians for labeling you as Trailer Park Boy.
Here we go, in Canada.
Got a lot of that, though, I swear. Taylor in Canada.
Didn't you just wish a bonanza on Canada?
No, I certainly did not. I love Canada. Taylor in Canada, wondering who would be better to try and pick up via waivers, James White or Bilal Powell, standard scoring league?
Standard, I'd say Powell.
White if you need somebody now, Powell if you can wait.
It's Powell.
Dear Art, Freddie, and Sean. Art, Freddie, and Sean. This is from Nugene Newcomb from Cowpens, South Carolina. That sounds totally fake, but Art, Freddie, and Sean. Yeah, I don't know either. The question is, would you drop Spencer Ware for Kenneth Dixon, and would you drop Golden Tate for Philip Dorsett?
Can I drop Golden Tate for Kenneth Dixon?
That is a good plan. There you go.
If I can't do that, then I'll drop Golden Tate for Philip Dorsett. I would like to hang on to Spencer Ware.
Okay, well, let's do one more email here, if I could find one. It is from, let's see. It's from Scott. Where's Scott from?
Topeka, Kentucky.
Kansas.
received two different offers for Carlos Hyde. I could trade Hyde straight up for Jarvis Landry or straight up for Brandon Cooks. Would you do either?
None. In a PPR, I would do it for Landry.
Standard, I wouldn't do it for either.
Yeah, correct.
I'd do it for both.
Fellas, this has been a really fun time.
You'd sell high on Hyde? You think you can't sell him for higher than Cooks or Landry?
You'd probably trade Carlos Hyde for DeAndre Hopkins right now.
Yeah, I think you can sell him for much more than those two receivers.
Maybe.
You know, yeah. You know what I? We're going to talk about tomorrow. We're going
to
talk about
you might be able to get Odell Beckham for Carlos.
But you,
some idiot might be like, "Oh, Odell Beckham, he's got blonde hair," and they'll trade him for Carlos Hyde.
All right, we're going to talk about matchups tomorrow and how you approach difficult matchups. Sometimes great players do poorly in difficult matchups. Sometimes they do very well. It's a tough decision for fantasy owners. That's coming up tomorrow. That's it for today. This is Fantasy Football Today for Dave, Heath, and Jamie. I'm Adam. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.